Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Get Rich Slow Club podcast is a collaboration between Tash Etchman from Tash Invest and Anna Christina from Perla. The Get Rich Slow Club acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land we record on. From coast to coast, across land, waters, and communities, we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Any advice is general and does not consider your financial situation, needs, or objectives, so consider whether it's appropriate for you.
Welcome to the Get Rich Slow Club podcast,
where we take you from beginner to confident investor,
where we can teach you everything you need to know about investing.
So come get rich slow with us.
We've got a very exciting episode today. We actually are answering a question from our community. But before we talk about that, there's a couple things we want to tell you about. The first one is, if you're listening to this podcast, please subscribe. It really helps us rank. It helps us get better guests. And it lets you know when we have new episodes coming out. And then the second one is a big announcement. Tash, do you want to talk about it?
Yes, we wrote a book, which we're very excited about. It's called How to Not Work Forever. Great title, and it's got a very pretty cover. And yeah, it's out on June 26th. So you can pre-order now, which would really help us. Pre-orders show the bookstores and booksellers that people like your books, they'll buy more. So we really appreciate it if you can pre-order it.
And now let's kick it off with this episode, as we always do. Money, losses, and wins. Tash, what's yours?
I went to Japan, which was lots of fun. Money win in general. I think I have a few money wins from that, actually. The first fun one was I found mini QP mayos at 7-Eleven, and they were 50 cents each. How fun's that?
I love QP mayo. I always buy it from Costco. We like store it and just smash through it really quickly.
It's so good. And then the bigger win was I bidded for an upgrade for business class. So I bidded, I think it was like 59,000 Qantas points, and we got it. So we flew business class from Australia to Tokyo, which was heaps of fun.
That's awesome. I definitely know that people are interested in that. So maybe we talk a little bit more about that next time as well. Just how to use points, how to access that. Because who doesn't want to go business class for cheap, right?
Yeah, business class for free pretty much. But yeah. What's your money win or loss?
So we had a bit of a heat wave recently here in Melbourne, and I don't know if I mentioned this in previous episodes, but we spent a lot of money getting aircon because we had evaporative cooling. We have heating that is like central heating. Is it called central heating? Like where it's vented heating. So the whole house heats up, including the bathroom. So if you're in one room, you are wasting a lot of energy. So we really, we ran the numbers. We realized that aircon split systems that do both hot and cold air would kind of save us a lot of money in the future, especially around winter time. But the other day when we had that heat wave, we also have solar panels. So it was free, running it free in the daytime, which is a huge money win when you're thinking about the cost of energy going up and up and up. So we tried to be a bit more environmental by moving from gas for the winter. But yeah, the solar panels have helped with the aircon costs.
Yeah. When did you get solar panels?
When we bought the house, they had solar panels. So we were very...
That's dreamy.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because when we purchased the house, they were saying, oh, we don't feel like we save a lot of money on the solar panels. Like just, it's not a lot. But we work from home. So we are using energy all the time in the daytime. And especially on hot, sunny days, a lot of our electricity is free. So I'm excited to see in the winter what the costs are going to be. We also, I've mentioned this a few times, we track our energy. I think there's a PowerPal is the app that we use. So it's a great money win. Yeah, because energy costs are huge. And if you can cut them down even a little bit, it is going to pay dividends in the future. So.
And that's something I forget about as well, the cost of working from home in terms of the aircon and the electricity. Like I think about it in terms of like, I'm home like showering and doing other things. But yeah, it's a huge extra cost.
Yeah, for sure. So we have some good wins for this week.
Okay, let's listen to our message from Ben.
Hi, my name's Ben. I'm a house painter from the southwest of Western Australia. I'm 29 years old, have about 20 grand in the bank. And my question to you guys is, would it be more beneficial for me to start heavily investing in ETFs now, obviously starting as early as possible to benefit off the compound interest, or start saving money in a high interest savings account for a first home deposit?
First off, 20K, amazing. Just want to celebrate that win. It's always really hard saving money, regardless of what the amount is. So massive kudos to you for being able to save that. So there's a couple different options in terms of answering your questions that you can consider. But before we talk about those options, we really need to talk about the things you need to consider when it comes to whether you should invest or save for a house deposit.
This is such a common question. I come across this all the time. So great question, Ben. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to send us a voice message and we'll pop the link in the show notes for you. So the first thing to consider is, what are your personal goals and priorities? Do you even want to buy a house right now? Do you want more flexibility? All of this depends on you and your lifestyle.
The second thing to consider is, if you are going to buy a property, is it a principal property of residence? Is it your home or is it an investment property? They both come with very different considerations. For example, if you want to buy a first home, you might be able to access the first home buyer's grant if you meet the conditions. And it all varies depending on what state you're in. So it's just another thing to consider on top of whether you want to buy a home or invest.
I got the first home buyer's grant when I bought my property in Perth a few years ago. The rule in WA back then was you had to buy something new to get the grant, but I kind of got around that by buying an apartment that was completely built, but no one had lived in it yet. So I didn't have to actually build a home myself, which was great because I didn't want to do that. But make sure you check the conditions and decide whether it's worth it for you or not. One of the most important considerations is your time horizon. So I noticed Ben didn't really say when he wanted to buy a house. So you really need to look at, how soon do you actually plan to buy that house? If it's in the short term, so less than 5 to 7 years, for example, it's probably better to put it in a savings account. But if it's over 5 to 7 years, then you might invest in ETFs because it's a longer time frame. The key here is whether or not you can be flexible to ride out a market crash if it happens. So let's say the market crashes right as you're planning to buy the house. Can you wait 2 or 3 more years, or would that really set you back a lot? If so, maybe cash is a better option.
This ties really well into your risk tolerance. So Ben, how comfortable are you with possibly losing money? So investments, especially ETFs, can fluctuate, offering higher potential returns, but they also come with an increased risk. So for example, if you do invest and you maybe want to buy further down the line, you know, will the value of your ETFs be where you expect them to be, or have they dipped? And just considering your risk tolerance along that is really important.
And then we need to look at the interest rate as well. So comparing the interest rates of your high interest savings account versus the expected return of your ETFs. So I usually use around 7% to be conservative for share investing. But if you look at the historical returns, it's been higher, like around 10% for the S&P 500. But also with savings, you need to consider the impact of paying tax on the interest that you've earned on your savings account. So this can really eat away at those returns.
The next one is your liquidity needs. Liquidity just essentially means having access to cash easily. So cash is very liquid. If you own a house, it's not very liquid because it's not easy to sell a house in one day and access that money, or even access a little bit of money from that. So how important is this for you to have immediate access to these funds? Saving accounts offer more liquidity compared to ETFs, which may have associated selling times and tax implications.
The next important thing is, do you have an emergency fund? So aside from the $20,000, do you have money saved for an emergency? If you're planning on investing in shares or ETFs, it's really important to make sure you have an emergency fund to ride out any market crashes or unexpected expenses. So make sure you've set aside for that as well.
Also, it's really important to know how much do you actually know about investing and having investing knowledge. So do you understand the risks around investing and what specific ETFs you're considering? Understanding what you're investing in is absolutely crucial when you're managing your own risk tolerance.
And it's fine if you don't understand yet. You can keep listening to the rest of these podcasts or you can go and find information elsewhere, but just something to consider before diving in.
You never want to take advice from your Uber driver, you know, like you never want to be like, yes, I understand this, so I'm going to invest blindly. So just understanding the risk around that is really important.
I've seen this pop up a lot more with crypto recently because Bitcoin is having its resurrection, resurgence. Lots of people telling me like, oh, my friend's boyfriend's sister said that I should buy this coin. So don't do that. Do your own research. Houses and apartments and property in general can be really expensive and come with lots of additional costs as well. Things like maintenance, taxes, strata fees, council rates, insurances. So make sure if you're saving for a home deposit, you're considering these things as well.
One of my favorite things that I've heard from Rami, who has a Netflix show as well, is that his thing is if you're renting, you always know what the maximum price is, like what the maximum cost you're paying. You're always just paying your rent. There's nothing really on top of that. Whereas when you purchase a home, your mortgage is the minimum that you're going to pay. There's always going to be additional costs on top of that. So when you're running your budgets and your numbers, it's really important to kind of think of the total costs around home ownership versus, for example, if you're renting.
Especially for apartments as well. Like a lot of new apartments have really nice, cheap strata fees, but they go up so quickly if something happens. So just something to be wary of.
The next one is diversification. So if you decide to invest, it's really important to ensure that you have a very diverse portfolio because this mitigates risk. The other thing is if you purchase a house, that means that all your money is invested in one type of asset class, property, in a specific location. So it's not diverse like a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust, which invests in a lot of property across everything. And you can purchase that on the ASX, like on the share market. So just thinking about diversification is a really important thing as well when you're considering where you're putting your money.
Now that we've gone through all the things to consider, we're going to talk through four potential options for Ben to take or anyone in his situation. Anna, what did you do when you were saving for your first home? Did you invest or just save the cash?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. So we had this scheme that was quite similar to a first home super saver scheme here in Australia. So my first property I purchased was in Canada, and that's essentially what I used. I used something that's the equivalent of the first home super scheme in super. So I was already investing and saving for a very long time or a longer time horizon. So when I did purchase my property, I took that money out, but I also had additional cash on the side that I was putting into that property. So my time horizon was much, much longer. When I purchased the house that I live in here in Australia, that was mainly cash. That was definitely cash. Oh, actually, that's a lie. I got to use the first home super saver here in Australia as well. Mm. So it was a bit of both. That was the strategy that I used. I had that money invested in the first home super saver.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Scheme here in Australia, and I accessed that as well. Wow, what a weird thing to have two first home situations.
Yeah, the perks of living in two different countries for you. Yeah. That's been great. Did you sell shares? Do I remember you saying you sold chairs as well?
Oh, actually, yeah, I did. You're totally right. I forgot that I did that. Wow, it's funny how you forget something that happened 2 years ago. That's another thing. Yeah, I was working at a company and I had a bunch of shares in that specific company from stock options that you get when you sometimes start at a startup. And I sold those shares as well. So actually, I did a whole bunch of things, actually, now that you mention it. You kind of forget that you do these things. But yeah, that was something, that was the big issue that I had, because I didn't properly consider the tax implications. So when I sold my shares, obviously you have to pay capital gains tax, which is fine, but I was also I also had a child, so I was going on parental leave. So that impacted what subsidies I was able to get. And it also impacted my childcare subsidy that I get for my kid who was in early education. So yeah, lots to consider.
Going on?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. What did you do?
I mostly saved, but I did start investing little bits here and there. So I invested my first $1,000 when I was 18, and that's when I was also saving too. But I kind of dabbled in micro investing here and there, but I mostly just saved my, I think I had 70,000 saved up. And then once I bought my apartment, then I started investing more heavily into shares after that. But I'm glad I invested smaller amounts beforehand, because it made me really comfortable with investing. I think it would have been really hard to go from completely saving to just completely investing. So having my foot in both, I think, worked out really well for me.
But when you purchased your property, did you access the money that you had invested, or how did you do that? You had cash?
Yeah, I had two separate ones. Yeah. So I just used my savings account. And then I left my shares that I put in shares as well. Because I think a lot of times we view these decisions as like, either we save or either we invest. But I think if you can do a little bit of both, it definitely helps build up your confidence for investing as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
It took me years to get comfortable with investing. Like from 18 to like 21 or to 20-ish, I was really unsure about it. Like I just kept putting in little bits and being like, oh no, I don't really get it. But from doing that for a few years, it helped grow my confidence a lot.
Yeah, I came from a place where I think when I graduated university, it was like the big global financial crisis happened, and people were getting laid off. I got laid off. I got let go. And so it took a while in Canada and in other places in the world. I know Australia wasn't hit as bad. It took a while for people to build confidence in the stock market, I think. At least that was the case for me.
Yeah. And I think back then as well, less people were talking about it. Like now a lot more people are online. There's other big podcasts like Mindlending Money got popular, She's on the Money grew. But before then, there wasn't really that many Australian options around. So buy more options now.
For sure. So let's get back to the four options that Ben can consider in this situation.
The first one is to save his money in a high interest savings account. So the pros for this is it offers safety and liquidity, but interest earned is typically lower on a savings account than if he was investing. But of course, this comes with less risk. So if Ben's thinking about buying a house in the next few years, this is probably a good option for him. The con of this approach, though, is that interest rates usually don't keep up with inflation. So he might lose purchasing power of his money, which means that his money is able to buy less things over time. But this is kind of the trade-off with wanting a less risky approach and wanting to buy something in the nearer future.
The second option is to invest in ETFs. So there is the potential for higher returns compared to a savings account, especially if Ben has a long time horizon before he plans on purchasing a home. ETFs offer diversification across various assets, reducing risk compared to individual stock options. The con with this is that it comes with market risk, means that Ben could potentially lose some of the capital that he's put in. So when we refer to capital, it's like the cash that you put into the share market, especially if he's planning on investing for short term. So we don't know what the market's going to do tomorrow or in 1 or 2 years. And if he wants to pull that money out, it could be quite volatile at that time, meaning that it's significantly less than what he potentially put in. So if he has a longer time horizon, potentially more than 5 years or 7 years, he might be more comfortable with this level of risk if he wants to save through ETFs for a house deposit.
I think this is a good option as well if you're not really sure you definitely want to buy a house and you want to be working towards something. Like you can always change your plan in the future and change your mind. But I think as long as you're building towards something, then that can still be really helpful and give you a lot more options in the future. The next one we have is he could do a hybrid approach. So he could split the funds between some in a savings account and some in ETFs. So kind of get the best of both worlds. But this does mean that the amount that's invested still comes with all of those risks as well. And like we were saying before with the savings account, it comes with those cons where it might lose purchasing power over time and he will need to pay tax on the interest he's earned. And as well with selling ETFs to buy a house, you will need to pay capital gains tax on any investments that you sell to. So considerations there as well.
And the last option is potentially investing in your super for the first home super saver scheme. So the pro of this is, if you're looking for a long-term investment option, it is also tax advantaged to be able to invest through your super. This might be valuable to Ben as he's planning, like if he's planning for a longer term horizon. The con of this is if he changes his mind, your money is essentially stuck there, right? You can only access it when you retire unless there's specific conditions. Also, we don't know what future legislation will be around super. So that's also something to consider. And if, for example, it comes the time when Ben wants to pull that money out, the same thing, you know, the market can fluctuate. It could drop in value. Is that the best time? So those are just some of the considerations around that. But it is potentially an option for investing and saving in your super if you're going to use the first home super saver scheme.
I think this option is great. Like, I am a bit envious because I didn't know about it when I first bought my apartment, but it seems like a great option. They just make it really confusing in all the wording when you're trying to find information out about it. So maybe we should do a whole episode on this soon and unpack it properly.
Yeah, that would be great. I know that I kind of messed up a little bit in terms of when I pulled the money out for my first home super saver scheme, but it is something that is worth considering because it is tax advantaged. It is quite accessible. There's a certain amount that you can invest. So you can't actually invest more than that for the first home super saver. And there are some things that you need to consider when you pull it out. But yeah, like you said, we'll do a whole episode on that. So those are all the four options that Ben can definitely consider. I know that it really depends on where you are in your life, what your timeline is, what your risk tolerance is. So it is going to be different for every single person. There's no right answer. That's why personal finance is personal. Tash, if you were looking to purchase a house right now, a property right now, what are some of the things like in where you are in your life that you would consider at this time?
Hypothetically, if I was buying a first home now and I knew I wanted to buy in the next 2 or 3 years, I would just save really aggressively for it. Where I am now, I am thinking about buying another property this year, but I have equity in my first property, which kind of gets me over that hurdle of needing to save another deposit. I think most of the equity I can get out to use for another deposit. I think even if I do need to save some more money, I will keep investing a small amount anyway, because I do enjoy the flexibility and freedom and the income that comes from ETFs. But then maybe just up the savings a bit more. But I like the hybrid approach because I like to have more choice, and I would hate to put all of my money into one house and have that be it completely. Like, that scares me a bit more. So I think I'd always do a bit of both for my situation.
But it is interesting where you are in your life right now that you would pull equity out of your property, because that is absolutely what I did with my apartment in Vancouver when I purchased my house. I pulled the equity out of that to help with purchasing power, like just having more cash on hand.
Yeah, it's such a hack. Like, it, the first deposit you save is really the hardest, because after that, the work is almost done for you with the property market. Like, the value of your property increases and you can just use that to buy another one, which is all very magical. And there's like risks that comes with it too. But yeah, the first deposit really is the hardest.
This is why some people think that property is actually the way that you can get wealthy faster, because you are leveraging a large amount of money. Like, it is hard to save $20,000. Like, Ben did an amazing job. It is really hard to save a lot of money. But then once you buy your property and your property value goes up $20,000, you didn't do anything. You just own that property and it went up. And now you can potentially take that money and use it to buy a new property. So it is really important to think about property when it comes to investing as well.
What would you do?
What would I do? Yeah, great question. I have some, like, because we've talked about this before, I have a lot of cash that's in my offset. That's kind of where, you know, how we try to navigate the high interest rates of my mortgage. So I would probably pull it out of there. So I wouldn't do any of those. Actually, we didn't even mention this, right? Like, I mean, it is in a savings account, but it's not earning interest. It is actually mitigating the interest of my mortgage. So it's option five for people who have a property. So I would probably pull that cash out. I don't think I would touch my investments in doing that. I think it would be cash, and I would see how much equity is in my property at the moment, but I don't think it's a lot because we literally just bought it recently.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other episode, what to do once you already have one property and you want to buy another one, because there's way more options that open up when you've got that situation.
Yeah, definitely something to think about, not in Ben's case, but in other people who are listening, that might be the case for them as well. And also in that case, chances are that you and I who own property would potentially buy an investment property. I mean, you don't live in your property, so you might want to buy a home that you live in, but that is a different, I'm just saying, right? Like that's another additional consideration that people might have.
Yeah. Invest like your primary place of residence and investment are completely different considerations. So yeah, definitely lots of future episodes to come on property, maybe.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ben, for your question. And we love questions like this that we can kind of dive deep on and talk about the thought process around it, because it's going to be completely different for everyone. So definitely send us your voice questions. We love them.
Yes. I'd love to do more of these. So please send all your situations in so we can talk through them. It's been heaps of fun. And remember to subscribe, pre-order our book as well. We would love that so much. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us. If you found this episode helpful, please rate us 5 stars, write a review, or share with a friend. If you're new to investing, make sure to listen to our first 10 episodes. Follow us at Get Rich Slow Club or Tash at Tash Invest or me at Anna Christina.
This show was brought to you by Natasha Etchman, who is an authorized representative, 1299881 of Guideway Financial Services, AFSL 420367, and Perla, who is an authorized representative, 1281540 of Sanlam Private Wealth, AFSL 337927. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to investing. So make sure you check out our financial services guides and read the product disclosure statement and target market determination for any investments you're considering. See our show notes for more info.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.